3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast is back on the airwaves once again. EG3 in the house with y'all one more time from the MHK Manhattan, Kansas. Welcome into another edition of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, where we're all about the latest in NASCAR, Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. My name is Eddie Greer III. That was a long intro. And this is a special edition of the podcast. We had a special guest come on here at the top of the hour as we're recording this on Friday, August 2nd. I cannot believe it is August already here in 2019. Where has the rest of the year gone? I have no idea. And oh, by the way, it has been raining on and off after a dry spell here in the old MHK. We've gotten some rain here this afternoon, and last time I checked, as we're outside the EG3 3-Wide garage area here, it's lighting up a little bit out here. We moved to downstairs here. Big D just joined in here with the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, the producer of the podcast, and this afternoon, or I should say here, almost 4 o'clock local time, we will have Lacey Cool on the podcast here in a few minutes, talk what she's been going on, and she's also from the U.S. Legends series as well, the U.S. Legend Car Young Lion series, which of course, we had Blake Lothian on a couple weeks ago and Isabella Robusto. If you missed those interviews, I encourage you to check that out, which leads me into a nice transition. Before we dive in any more to this episode, be sure to subscribe, download the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, y'all know what it is. Audio Boom, Stitcher, y'all know what it is. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. And remember, part of that is part of our giveaway. Obviously, we are still in works of trying to get to 50 five-star ratings and at least 10 reviews. And if we do that, it's going to be a year-long thing until we reach that. So I'm not going to just sit here and give up on it. We're going to ride it out until we reach that. And if we do, then I will give away 2 diecast of my choice. I'm not going to review those, obviously, until we start getting more up there in those numbers. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. But for you guys, please rate, review, do what you need to do. Tell your friends. Spread the word about the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Y'all know what it is. And of course, I've received some followers this week as well, which I am going to save for the post-race reaction edition next week of the podcast, where we recap Eldora and Watkins Glen. Of course, Eldora wrapped up last night. I'm not going to say any much more than that until the post-race podcast. And of course, Watkins Glen coming up this weekend. So pumped up for more road course racing. I'm excited to get the weekend started. Actually, the weekend has started because we're recording the podcast on a Friday. So there's that as well. Got some things going on tomorrow. Got a 5K coming up and helping another one of my friends, or say a family, move houses. So I've been moving a couple people here last couple weeks, so that's been fun/interesting in itself. So EG3's got a lot of stuff going on here, and of course, yep, school, well, not for me, school for a guest is around the corner. Lacey going to school. We'll get more inside information, obviously, on that as we continue this bonus edition of the podcast. And remember, I know we're recording this on August 2nd. This will not come out until next Tuesday night. And of course, our Wednesday usual, the post-race edition of the 3i NASCAR podcast, taking a look at the Dirt Derby in Eldora Speedway and the Watkins Glen doubleheader, which begins tomorrow with the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, the big event on Sunday. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Before Lacey calls in, because she's our Big D, she's already called me once, and I thought, and I'm gonna joke, mess around with her when she gets on here, but I thought I missed the interview. Did I miss something here? She called me while I was on the road at work, and I had a long road trip today, so, and I had the malfunctioned box truck, so I couldn't hear anything. So luckily she left me a message and I was able to get back with her as soon as I got back doing what my delivery route for today. So I'm gonna joke around with her a little bit, but she's a studious one already, I can tell, and I'm looking forward to speaking with her about what's been going on, and of course going on with the U.S. Summer Net Series as well, with the Legend Car at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Of course, now switching gears for a few minutes here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, talking about here the Xfinity Series in a rabbit, or one of the rabbits in the room, talking about Christopher Bell, Eric Jones. You remember last year for all the curls of the EG3 show, I did an episode, short episode, on Christopher Bell and his movement to Toyota, movement to the Cup Series then. Well, I'm doing it again. We're back to part two. Or I should say, this is part two of that in 19, where Bell, heavy conversations, and Eric Jones, well, we thought he was going to sign. Well, according to a couple weeks ago, in Eric Jones' mouth, that we're working on a deal to stay in that 20 car, for working on a long-term contract. Well, nothing's been settled via Joe Gibbs. After Pocono last week, and the mood did not sound good. So where does that leave these guys? Well, you know, there's been heavy conversations. I was just on a Loose Lugs podcast. And oh, by the way, ton of laughs from the Loose Lugs podcast. Glad they're back on the podcast scene. Go check them out at Loose Lugs. Is it their Twitter? At Loose Lugs. But the Loose Lugs podcast is back. I was on there this past week talking about a little bit about that. And I was actually off the podcast camera, so that conversation did not get on the actual episode, but we were talking offline about that a little bit. And I gotta tell you, there's not enough seats at the table. We also, on videotape, we talked Tyler Reddick and his movement into the Cup Series. Richard RC says he's ready to go, and I think he's ready to go. Sticking with my answer from the other night, he's ready to go, but the same issue lies with him and Christopher Bell, who's part of that big three along with Cole Custer in the Xfinity Series this year, that there's not enough seats at the dinner table. So, if this was the NASCAR heyday back in the day, then there's no doubt that these guys would probably move up together and make for one hell of a rookie battle, right? So, and now we're into 2019. Times have changed in NASCAR. There's not enough rides. Obviously, there's not enough competition, or say competitors, on a racetrack. You're racing at least 36, 37 a week, compared to back then where there was 40, at least no more than 43 exact race cars on a racetrack. You had big crowds. Yeah, racing was big back then. Things, times have changed. You got the young guys, NASCAR trying to help help out these young guys, or I should say promote, not help, these young guys try to be more successful in the sport. So, again, but you got these guys who've been battling out, and let's learn our lesson from last year, you know, and it's not a shoo-in yet with these guys. We could all see them at Homestead, or we could see two of them or one of them. I mean, yeah, I mean, after them, you have recent winner Chase Briscoe, which I think could be that fourth car. He is teammates with Cole Custer. Yes, he hasn't won much races here and there. He hasn't won, not up to the level of Cole Custer winning all those races this year yet. But Briscoe finally got one racing, gets one of the big three, closing them out. Christopher Bell led all those laps, but could not hold off hard-charging Chase Briscoe, who was tremendous last night at Eldora, but fell short. Again, I think just think that these guys, there's not enough talent in the Xfinity series. I mean, past those four guys, yeah, you have your all guys, and we've talked, Justin Allgaier's taking a back seat this year. He was up there last year, obviously winning 6-7 races, and then of course fell apart, unfortunately, due to bad luck in the playoffs last year. So that could very well happen with one of these three guys. So, I mean, you never know when a shoe's going to be on the other foot in the Xfinity, Gander, or Monster Energy Cup Series. You just can't. So, and then Matty Benedetto, Matty D, says, I ain't giving my ride. And, yeah, hell yeah. You're not going to give up your ride at all. And he should speak up for himself because, yeah, you stepped up. You speaked out for yourself in the first place anyway. So, you know, why is going to back off down to a Christopher Bell or even your teammates, Eric Jones and stuff like that? So, to me, this is going to be really interesting as the cards are going to be laid out on the table here, and we'll see which ones will unfold here as we come down to the end of the season here. We're almost to playoff time. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series is one race away, folks, from setting their feet in the playoffs, and that MIS race next week, that is going to be a crazy race. That I'm looking forward to that race there. I'm not trying not to look too far ahead, but with the scenario here playing out, Kyle Busch Motorsports, none of the trucks are involved, Ben Rhodes, and I'm going to save my take on Ben Rhodes with a post-race pod on that. There are a couple big names in there that could be missing out on the playoffs, so not good for those guys there. So Xfinity Series going through a stretch this month of road course racing, starting Watkins Glen tomorrow. Got that going on, so a lot of things can happen. I'm not going to say, you know, look at the playoff picture, you know, your 12 is there now, but you know, things can get weird and get weird fast. And this Joe Gibbs Racing situation, this TRD situation here with between Eric Jones and Matty Benedetto and Christopher Bell, that's going to be must-see TV here throughout the rest of the season to see what happens. And Toyota, if they have enough dollars here, they can afford to open up another car for Levine. Bob Levine has always talked about guys making a second car, or not making a second, or have the ability to open up a second car to somebody. So Levine's talked about that for the last year, really. So some people have overlooked that a little bit. And yeah, it's difficult, different times economically in the NASCAR series right now. You just never know. So Toyota, they do not want to lose Christopher Bell like they lost Kyle Larson and William Byron last few years to Chevrolets. So the things are going to get really interesting here for these guys here. And yeah, you're off the sign. Denny Hamlin was in trouble last year. You know, where's Denny Hamlin going to go? And all of a sudden, bam, he and Chris Gabehart win the 500. Your recent winner last week, he won Texas and signed a long-term contract. So Hamlin ain't got to worry about that stuff. You just signed Martin Truex. You're not going to just give him away. And then obviously your cornerstone piece, Kyle Busch, you're not going to just give him like a piece of meat out here. So we all know Kyle Busch is one of the best in the business right now. So Christopher Bell, Eric Jones, Matt DiBenedetto, this is going to be interesting, folks, to say the least. And we'll see where this thing is going to head here. And it's the beginning of August 2nd, Big D. Yeah, so a lot can happen between now and the end of the year, and things could get silly. So I just have to find out and see here where this goes. But this is going to be interesting. And Toyota, TRD, Wilson, this is going to be interesting. I gotta tell you, man, Toyota, this is a good problem to have, but this is also a bad problem to have. Once again, you're known for giving away talented drivers, and Christopher Bell, he's won for the past year and a half. He won seven races last year, 5 already this year, and he could possibly surpass that. Could have won last week, didn't do that. He's won 12 races in that span. Of course, when you add the one back in 2017 where he outdone Erik Jones at Kansas. So, anything can happen when it comes to silly season. It's just with this situation here, this triangle that we got right here. Stay tuned, folks. 3Wide NASCAR Pops EG3. We are going to take a timeout right now while we wait for Lacey Cool to join us. She should be calling in here very soon here from Sarasota, Florida. Of course, she lives in North Carolina and part of that U.S. Legend Car Lions Division Series as they have been doing the summer Bojangle Shootout at Charlotte Motor Speedway. That is her right now. Lacey Cool on the other side of this timeout.
NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
We're out of time right now, and we'll get you back on here in about a minute or so. Sound good? Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3's back on the racetrack. EG3, yours truly, Eddie Greer III, here on this Friday afternoon. Big D's also here with me as well. Apologize for the mishap there with everything, trying to get everything set up with our special guest, but we have her on the line right now. Let's get on down to business, Big D, shall we? All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the line right now from Charlotte Motor Speedway currently right now is our special guest who's a part of the U.S. Legend Car Young Lions Series. Joining us today, this afternoon, Lacey Cool. What's up, Lacey?
Nothing much.
Yeah. I know you. I just got done talking to you like 30 seconds ago, and you're... Tell the listeners what you're doing right now.
So right now we are camped at Charlotte Motor Speedway's campground. We have our RV here with our racing trailer. We've been here for the whole Bojangle Summer Shootout series, and we have a race coming up here this upcoming Friday at Wake County Speedway on August 9th. So we're just going to be staying here for that.
All right. Very exciting stuff right there, and I appreciate you actually calling me earlier today. I thought I missed the interview call right there for a minute there, but I checked my voicemail there, and thank you for checking in on the time of the interview, but I'm very glad that you're able to take some time to join a podcast this afternoon.
Oh yeah, thank you, no problem.
Yeah, alright, so I'm gonna let you have the floor here for a few minutes here. Tell our listeners and some of our new listeners who just joined our podcast a little bit about your story and how you got involved with NASCAR and the U.S. Legend Car Pro Series.
All right, so I started racing after my little brother Rocco passed away from diabetic ketoacidosis in around 2010 there maybe. This happened when the doctors misdiagnosed him for the flu instead of diabetic ketoacidosis because they didn't check his blood sugar. Oh, and after that, it took him 8 hours to check his blood sugar. It was at 478 around somewhere around there. And they proceeded to do everything wrong, and they treated him wrong. So, unfortunately, he passed away.
Oh, man.
So, then we met a diabetic race car driver whose name I'm not going to state. And, my dad just loved racing. I started to love racing after my dad started to show me around there. I was around, like, 4 or 5 years old out there. And then we met another Rev racing driver who is now in the late model program for Rev. We met her, and we bought her 2 go-karts. They're 10.5 horsepower go-karts. And they go around 60 miles an hour, no seatbelts. And we just loved racing ever since then. And then last year in October around then, my dad seen that Brooke Store was in the Rev Racing program. So then we decided to see if there was a youth program. There was. So I filled out the application with my mom. We got a phone call. Everything happened. It just started to go our way. And then we were invited to a combine, and we did really good there at the road course at GoPro Motorplex. And now we're here today with the U.S. Legend cars.
That's one amazing story. I'm going to touch on a diabetes charity here in a little bit, but it seems like your dad has been very influential to your racing career so far. Doing a little research before this week, before your interview, correct me if I'm wrong, but are you 13 years old?
Yes, I am 13 years old. I just turned 13 last Sunday.
Oh,
actually.
Oh! Happy belated birthday!
Thank you.
Nice. All right, so kind of backing up a little bit here. You're originally from Sarasota, Florida, correct?
Yes, I'm from Sarasota, Florida.
So, did you start your racing down around in that area, or how did that turn about?
So we had a track. It's now closed down, unfortunately. It was called DeSoto Speedway. And my dad started to take me there just to look at all the cars racing and everything. It was like 20, 30 minutes away from us. And we went there for like 6 weeks straight, and then that's when we met Brooke. But our closest actual go-kart track from us is around 1.5 to 2 hours away with driving the RV. So we started racing around there. We had a Tampa Bay Grand Prix, so mostly the only closest track to us is around 1.5 hours away.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I lived in Florida actually for pretty much over 10 years before moving up here to Manhattan, Kansas, and never had a chance to go down to Sarasota. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. Have you ever been to Daytona International Speedway? Have you guys yet?
Yes, actually, this year was the only year I didn't get to go to both races. We've been going to Daytona for 7 years straight now.
Oh, nice. So what happened? Do you mind me asking what happened? Why you weren't able to attend both races this year?
So for the first race of the year, we didn't really have any time because my mom was working, my dad was working, and I had school. So and also with all my racing that I've been doing around Florida with traveling, I wasn't really able to get any more time off school because I already had all my missing days left. So we didn't really get to make it there. And then for July race, we were already up here for the summer shootout, so we weren't able to make it.
Oh, okay, all right. So, do you guys travel from down south to North Carolina every time you have a racing obligation up in North Carolina? How's that work with school involved in there?
So, for this summer, what we did for the combine, I just took a couple of days off for that. But for this summer shootout, my mom has currently been traveling back and forth by plane up to North Carolina, but me and my dad have been living actually in our RV up here at Charlotte Motor Speedway's campground for the summer shootout.
That is dedication right there. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, joined this afternoon by Lacey Cool, part of the U.S. Legend Car Young Lions series. She is currently in at the Speedway, Charlotte Motor Speedway, continuing the Bojangles series up there. What things do you like about Florida, about Sarasota, Lacey?
About Sarasota is just how everyone lives there. Like, everyone's just nice. The beaches are, like, rated number one, like Siesta Key, if you've never heard about it. We have Longboat Key. And how everything's so close to you. Like, I love being out in the woods, but sometimes you do need a little bit of city life. So you have city life in Sarasota. You also have the country life out in Myakka, like 5 minutes away. So everything's just close to each other, and you're able to go places.
Yeah, that's nice that you guys as a family are able to have that flexibility. You can have a little bit of woods, you can go to the city, you can go to the country life, kind of like up here, for a matter of speaking. You have country life, you have city life, and you can go to the woods and do some nature walk or do some hunting, whatever. So it's kind of the both worlds. Here, when you look at it.
Yeah, I mostly like the country because where my local track is, it's out in Land O'Lakes. So it's kind of like the country life, and we're almost there every single weekend. So I just love the country, going out hiking, going mudding, doing like just country life, hiking and stuff like that.
Very nice, very nice. Now, living in Sarasota, have you... guys have had it now I haven't been to Homestead yet, but have you guys had a chance to go to a race down there at Homestead yet?
Yeah, I've been to Homestead, Daytona, I've been to Talladega, I've been to Richmond, I've been now just to Charlotte for the Coke 600.
Nice.
I've been to, my dad, unfortunately, we might be going to Bristol for August 17th because it's only a couple hours away from here. But my dad's been to Bristol before, and he's like, you got to go there. It's the Great Coliseum, so we might be going there.
That is on my bucket list. Well, not this year, but sometime down the road somewhere. I know a couple buddies of mine have gone, and they've experienced there at Bristol. It's just one of those places that you got to go experience for yourself. I mean, I haven't gone, so I'm only seeing it through my friends' experiences. Seeing a lot of races on TV at Bristol. Yeah, it's got to be one of a kind out there. So Bristol is around the corner. So that, if you do have the opportunity to go in a couple weeks, definitely take advantage of it.
Yeah, like we were thinking about heading to Bristol and then the week after that going to Darlington, but it just all depends on what our schedule is because we have absolutely 5 extra races after the summer shootout, which are now just coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't know what our schedule is. We'll try to flex something with our schedule, but yeah, hopefully we'll go.
And I've been to kind of the back up just a bit. I've been to Daytona and Talladega. Those restricted plates races are just one of a kind there. I've been to a couple Daytona 500s, so it's definitely the experience. You see the difference between watching a race on TV and going to the racetrack and experiencing yourself. It's very, very different.
Yes, it's very different because you have to feel for the cars. You also, like, if you're watching on TV, we can't feel anything, and we also only hear what, most of the time, only what the commentators are saying. But if you have, like, what is it called? It's like a little computer, and you have it with your headphones on, and you can actually listen to what the drivers are saying.
Yep.
So, like, you're watching the races, you're feeling the engine, you're feeling the vibration, hearing the noises, and you also get to see what the drivers are saying. It's just a cool experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely a great experience. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast here chatting with Lacey Kuhl. All right, so you talked about earlier, I want to back up to the diabetes charity that your family have started, and sorry for your brother's loss. I apologize. Sorry to hear about that. But how did this drive for diabetes awareness start? I know it started with your younger brother, like you said earlier. So how did that all charge up to one big idea to say, hey, let's wear awareness for this issue?
Yeah, so we started the charity a year or, 6 months. I don't really know when, because I was kind of, 5 years old when it happened.
Yeah.
But we got the idea of the charity when, our families never had diabetes in their family, and we want, even though people haven't had it in their family, your child or you can still get it. So we want to spread the symptoms, the fruity breath, frequent urination, really tired, drowsiness, fruity breath, stuff like that. We want to spread those so then if the doctor says to your child or you that you have the flu, that they will say, can you please check our blood sugar, because the symptoms of the flu are almost exactly like the symptoms of diabetes, and it'll just come and grab you, and then you're never going to realize it until you go into diabetic ketoacidosis, and it's life-threatening.
Yeah, that is for sure there, so that's definitely something that we all in this world don't want to go through that, but I know a friend of mine that's going through that right now. Currently, I've read it in the newspapers here around town, all over the place. I mean, Rarity.
Yeah. It's an upcoming epidemic. It's an epidemic right now. And I'm not trying to belittle doctors or anything, but some doctors just don't look for it because of how unpopular it really is. But now it's becoming a really big popular thing. And it's not just type 2 diabetes where you can have, like, your diet, but there's also type 1, which was what my little brother had, where you have to actually take insulin shots, and it just doesn't happen from an unhealthy diet. It can just come through your blood or anything that happens, so.
Always something to learn here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 talking this afternoon with Lacey Cool coming from Charlotte Motor Speedway. All right, so going from that kind of a weird transition back to where you first started racing here back in 2014, you got your first win on an asphalt oval, and then that same year, you got your first win on a dirt track. So how was that experience getting your first win in your first year of racing?
So when my first year on a, like, when I got my first win on an asphalt track, that was just kind of like, just a little step up from what I was doing before, because my dad just started. He's never been with cars before. So when I got my first win that day, that was in my rookie season of go-karting, which is kind of like a red plate, and you go around 30 miles an hour to 40. And there at that Florida Dirt Motor Speedway, which it is now, there I was wheel-hopped by one kid, and it went over my left arm, and my left arm was so swollen that, like, I could hardly move it. But, you know, I was still gonna race. So after that, I started on pole again because I won my heat. And after that, I just kept the lead and I won, and it was such an amazing feeling. Winning on a dirt track, I would say dirt tracks have harder competition than asphalt tracks only because of how many people race dirt. Sometimes in a dirt go-kart race, you can have sometimes the 14 to 15 carts on one track. It's just crazy.
that is crazy, depending on how big are the dirt tracks?
So my local track is a 1/5 mile, which they have a 1/5 mile at Charlotte, but the track varies sizes. Like this summer, actually, at the dirt track at Charlotte, it was the first time ever they've made a dirt track inside of the dirt track, and it was like the inside berm of Charlotte's dirt track. And that was the biggest track I've ever raced on. It's like almost half a mile, maybe bigger.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, wow. And then kind of to go down the chart here a little bit here on my notes here. And with road coursing this weekend for the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series, you just mentioned road course just a minute ago there. You got your first win on a road course 2 years ago at, and you can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Inverness Grand Prix, Florida?
Yes, Inverness Grand Prix. That was, so I brought my regular left turn only go-kart that I used on dirt, but it was kind of like our older kart. At that track, it's really only left-hand turns except for a little chicane. But yeah, that was my first, it's in Inverness City, Florida, and it's like literally on the streets that cars drive off, and they close down the whole city. And they race go-karts on there with curbs and, like, light poles and hay bales. It's crazy. But unfortunately, now it's been shut down because this year they had 2 champ karts flip over.
Oh, man.
This year they added 2 different chicanes. And in my opinion, with the new chicane they added, the champ karts were too fast. So when they try to turn right, it doesn't really work out for them. So they flipped.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a kind of like an IndyCar race itself there. You're basically racing a street course there, but that's unfortunate there for those guys there. And now I'm doing the notes for this podcast this afternoon for this week. Tell listeners that I never heard of Inverness, Florida until reading your bio this week. So tell the listeners where that is. I know you probably said it a while ago, but tell us where that is.
I would say, so if you're from Sarasota, Florida, it's around 3 to 4 hours away. So if you go from Tampa, it's around 2 hours away. It's like a little town. It's not a big town. The people, they have Citrus County. I think it's Citrus Speedway they have there. They also race legend cars there, which I'll be racing there when I get back down to Florida. It's a very nice town, little town out in the woods and stuff. It's really cute.
Wonderful. All right, so last year you did the first ever double race for... okay, so next year, Pocono have the double next year, which has gotten all kinds of hype, which I'm excited about. That's on my list of places to go, Pocono for next year. But last year, double race at Inverness, you placed second, and then on that same day, you did additional races on dirt, placing second and third. Wow. How did that day go?
Oh, that day was hectic. So we were at Inverness Grand Prix, and we tried to talk to the people at Inverness because they also had a points race there at the dirt track, and I'm in contention for points for, third place. So we're like, we're going to have to race Inverness, drive an hour and a half down south to Ford Motor Speedway, race our two extra races there, and then be done for the night. So at Inverness, I placed in second place there. And then right after there, we leave right away. We're running with the car, put it inside the trailer, and we just book it from Inverness. And after there, we get there right when my whole entire class is going out for a heat race. And I missed practice for the dirt track, but after that, I just let everyone pass me because I had one of my friends pull a pill for me because the owners knew I was going to be at the race. So I pulled pill, third place pill. So then I just let everyone go by me, and that was kind of like my practice round. I didn't really have any good tires. And then after that, I go out for my race. I start last out of six or seven cars. I bring my car up to second place. I finish in second right behind, I would say, one of my good friends, Sean English. She's really good at that track. I finish second there. And then after that, we had a pro money feature, so that was for $200, $150. And I came third in there. Because we didn't really have the tires for the track because my dad never knew anything how the track was. So we got a second, third, and second place finish in one day, so I take it.
That's a super hectic day. Not only that, but you did pretty well. So, yeah, you did wonderful that day. Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then, all right, so... last year, you finished third in the points at the Florida Dirt Motor Speedway down in Land O'Lakes, Florida. And then then last year, you received the Villages Motorsports Fan Club a plaque from the Village Motorsports Fan Club for your work for the diabetes awareness in motorsports, honoring you as an ambassador for the More Sports in Humanity. What was that? How do you feel about receiving that award, that prestigious award?
It just keeps me focused on working with the charity and spreading the awareness. Also, when I got the third place points, my family also got the Perseverance Award for just keeping on with the charity because we were having some tough times with racing during that season. But after that, we started bringing up our races and just started focusing a lot on the charity and spreading awareness. And now we've gotten here with NASCAR with the charity. And our number one goal was just to get Drive for Diabetes Awareness, our charity, into NASCAR. And, well, we've done it. And now we just want to get it spread around the whole country.
Lacey Koo joins us for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, chatting with Lacey. few more minutes here with Lacey this afternoon. All right, Lacey, so you're at Charlotte Motor Speedway currently right now, and I've had Blake. Yes, I had Blake. I had to double check my notes for a second. I had Blake on the show a couple weeks ago. So give us a current update on the Bojangles Summer Series out there in Charlotte.
Yeah, so I came for points. I came 16th out of 30 cars for points. I feel like for a rookie out there with the Bojangles Summer Shootout, that was a pretty good goal. I was hoping to come in 15th for the points, not 15th. But a couple of times at the beginning of the series, I didn't really do too good in qualifying. So you get points for qualifying as well as the race. If there were not points for the qualifying, I could have got top 15, but it happens. Maybe next year we'll come top 15, top 10. But also, last race, I've had my best finish ever. I came 10th place out of 26 cars for round 10. That was a pretty good finish. I was running around the same times as the leader. Just doing really good. We've brought our times up, brought our finishes up, and we're doing good now.
That sounds great. And kind of back up here for a second, Kyle Busch and scored 200 wins earlier this year, and he's already surpassed that. You have raced over 200 races so far on dirt, asphalt, and road racing, like we talked about here this afternoon. What keeps you motivated to be this diverse in your young career in NASCAR? What keeps you motivated?
So I believe if you run dirt will help you with your asphalt oval. And if you run your road course, it'll help you with your legend car driving because of all the brakes that you use in legend car and road course. So with this motivation to be running on all different three different types of courses, I personally believe I do better on road course. That's just what I believe, but I've stuck with dirt, and I've actually gotten better. It just depends on how much you practice on each. So, like, sometimes you can practice on road course more. You can do better on asphalt oval the next week. So I just switch off from all and just keep changing up my schedule with what we're doing with different racetracks.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with diving in the different types of courses, whether it's road courses, asphalt, dirt. You seem to be doing pretty well, and keep up the good work in those areas there. All right, so who do you have a favorite driver in NASCAR yet?
Well, I have a couple. I like William Byron from Hendrick and Noah Gregson in the Xfinity, and I also like Haley Deegan and the K&N and Art and everything that she does with her stuff on the internet with social media what she does with her super cost and everything that their family does. So I have a couple drivers I like, yeah.
Yeah, William Byron has improved in his second year in the Cup Series with a new crew chief in Chad Knaus, and that improvement is starting to show in the second half of the year. Interested in seeing how things go with the 24 the rest of the year, and that you actually led to my next question there. Your favorite driver, one of your favorite drivers being Haley Deegan, and I'm going to expand on that here with this next question. Have you been able to kind of follow her journey as she's been winning races and just being her colorful self, if you will? She's working towards being that next big thing in NASCAR, which obviously NASCAR needs in a huge personality, well, this figure in a big way, with obviously Dale Jr. retiring, Tony Stewart retiring. NASCAR needs a face, and in my opinion, Haley Deegan is working towards being that face, that next face.
Yes, she is, because on social media, she has absolutely the most social media following than Kevin Harvick and everyone else, as well as on YouTube and everything. So, yes, she is becoming the next face in NASCAR. And she also went through the same program that I'm going through with the Rev Racing, but now she's with Toyota Racing Development, I think.
Yes, she is. So be interesting to see what Haley does, obviously, throughout the year. So, Lacey, for you, what are your rest of your summer plans, as we're almost already up to fall?
Yeah, so with everything that's going on after the summer shootout, so this upcoming Friday, as I mentioned, we're racing at Wake County. And then also the day after that, we're racing at Anderson. And then the week after we race at Anderson, we are also going to be racing at the fifth mile behind Charlotte Motor Speedway for a doubleheader on Friday and Saturday. And then we still have one extra race that we're trying to figure out. I'm keeping everyone updated on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. So we'll see what happens next. But yeah.
All right. You mentioned Instagram and Facebook. And oh, by the way, thank you for the follow on Twitter. I'll make sure I follow you back right after this podcast is over. So where can everybody find you on social media?
Yeah, so for my social media, it's Driver Lacey Cool on Instagram. Okay. And then we also have my charities Instagram at Drive for Diabetes Awareness with the number 4. Then we also have Twitter at Drive Check Some Guests, I mean. Then we also have Facebook, Drive for Diabetes Awareness, and we have YouTube, Drive for Diabetes Awareness. And our website at dfda.info.
Exciting, exciting stuff. And finally, I'm going to let you go on this. So with the summer almost coming to an end here as we approach football season, and obviously the NASCAR playoffs will be around the corner very soon, Lacey, what are your goals for the rest of the year? And oh, by the way, are you in middle school?
Yeah, I'm going into 8th grade. And speaking of school, I'm now getting out of public schools, and I'm going to be doing online schooling, so then I'm okay. Able to focus more on racing and stuff.
Okay, all right. All right.
Yeah, my school actually starts on August 12th, so if I were to start school, I wouldn't be able to do these extra 5 races back in Florida if I was there. So now I'm doing my schooling online while I'm racing here in Charlotte.
Wonderful, wonderful news there. And you have any goals, racing goals for the rest of the year?
Yeah, my racing goals, because we actually don't own a legend car, so our goals are to get a legend car, learn about the legend car and how to work on them, and race down in Florida and all over Florida at any tracks that we're possibly able to run, and just improve and just see what we can do.
All right, Lacey. Lacey, you have been a cool customer this afternoon on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule in Charlotte to join the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast. Hopefully we can do this together in the near future somewhere, and good luck the rest of the year.
All right, thank you. And also, can I add a couple things?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so I would like to thank Matt Siegel, Rev Racing NASCAR, TNT Speed Shops, Pink Magic Tire Prep, Taylor & Sons Construction, Armo Jewelers, and Special Smiles Pediatric Dentistry for everything that they've helped me with, as well as AK Performance for helping with the car and helping with my driving, because I wouldn't be here without these people.
Wonderful. Awesome. Awesome. Lacey, you have been wonderful this afternoon. Thank you for your time once again, and yeah, good luck and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
The 3 Wide NASCAR podcast with EG, Wow. Unbelievable. Lacey Cool is doing big time work, and this young lady is only 13 and continues, and obviously she just turned 13 last week, and the resume that she's building up is very impressive. Wow, that was one awesome interview this afternoon here on a 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. Just a couple minutes, or actually just a minute or two here, and we will let you go for the weekend. It's Road Course Racing Action, Watkins Glen Xfinity Series. We'll do work tomorrow, and in the, obviously the Cup Series, Martin Truex Jr. looks to continue his stranglehold on Road Course Racing on Sunday, or will we get a surprise winner? And things are heating up on the bubble. Jimmy Johnson's crew chief expecting a baby. so that situation there. So a lot is going on there. On that end, football started last night. Yes, it's the preseason, but football starting, and then college football starting later on in the end of the month. This thing's going to get really, things are going to get busy really quick, especially with football, racing, and my running as well. So a lot going on here for EG3, lots going on for all the competitors, and Big D, you have a couple things going on as well. But yes, big thanks to Lacey Cool for hopping on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast EG3 this afternoon, and she has a bright future here, and we will definitely follow her journey here down as we continue into 2019 and beyond. And again, thank you, a special thanks to Christy for making this happen once again. And you know, it's something, you know, my drive here in the 3Wide NASCAR podcast lately has been trying to reach out into a different avenue into these young, trying to reach out into these young guy, to these young guys and gals about their upbringing in the NASCAR. And literally you're seeing and hearing the excitement in the boys and girls' voices and their passion, their love for the sport. And man, this is was wonderful to hear, and the spread the awareness of diabetes and that unfortunate that disease there. So definitely interview, one of my favorites so far this year. I kind of been a loss for words myself. But before I let you guys go, obviously K-State begins their training camp yet today in this rain. Obviously, new head coach Chris Kleiman is basically weeks away now, 3 or 4 weeks away now from his first game for the K-State Wildcats. Of course, for those of you who don't know Chris Kleiman is just coming from the North Dakota State Bison, where he won 4 national championships. I want to say 4 or 5, but well, they North Dakota State, they've won a slew of national championships in the division, in the other college football division, and now Kleiman is with the big boys, and it's going to be a transition / interesting year to see what happens with K-State, and buckle up for that, folks, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Manhattan area, buckle up for that, because we'll just have to see. I mean, a lot of people have picked us down the bottom. That's all right with me. You know, I'm just interested. There's a lot of predictions of 5-7, 4-8. So, you know, I'll do my prediction here later on this month. So definitely, K-State, I'm excited, Big D, for football. And yeah, Falcons lost Falcon-like yesterday with the tip pass for a touchdown. Luckily, it's preseason, so a lot to look forward to here as the summer is beginning to close the curtains in fall. Before you know it, folks, it's around the corner. And World Course Racing is just around the corner at Watkins Glen. Folks, enjoy the weekend this weekend. Hope everyone has a safe weekend and a blessed one as well. Big D, thanks for what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast Bonus Edition. And big thanks to Lacey Cool for hopping on the podcast. And she's a great personality from talking to her pretty much all day today. Thank you for hopping on. Chrissy, thank you for setting this up. Thank you guys for listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And who will take the checkered flag this weekend at the Glen? Stay tuned to the NBC networks to find out. Buckle up. World Course Racing coming up. We'll be right back.
the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Wide.